9 o'clock. Jim and the Buckeye Boy. It's a Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network online at theteam1340.com. Catch us in the Valley, 101.1 FM, 1340 AM along Highway 50, 102.1 FM. Also for North Fork as well. Draft tonight. Do the Broncos stay at 12? Do they trade back? Do they trade up? Who do they pick? With whatever pick they end up with in the first round. Got some thoughts on that. Nuggets Lakers tonight here on the team. Pregame at 7:30. Should mention, by the way, NFL draft coverage. We'll have it at 6 o'clock up until about 7:20. And then Nuggets Lakers pregame at 7:30 tonight on the team with Jason Kosmiski. So some predictions on Nuggets Lakers. I think you and I still feel like gentlemen sweep, but man, that was a gut punch.
Yeah, it was.
To the Lakers in game two. They're up by 20. And still don't know why they didn't foul Jamal Murray at the end, but they didn't, and Jamal made him pay with the game-winner buzzer-beater jumper for the Nuggets. So they're up 2-0. So if you got some thoughts about that, you can text or call us, 970-242-1340. Saw that Brennan Rigsby, of course, played at Oregon, played in the NCAA tournament. Brennan Rigsby transferring to the University of Minnesota. So, he gone.
Yeah, he is on the move.
Former DeBec Dragon state champion. All right, thank you. Well, I prefer the official Hawk Harrelson.
Yes.
We gone. Do we get a winner, by the way, for who is it?
We did.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Craig was first in the door to identify Jerry DePoto. Former Rocky, played in the season opener against the Mets, played for both the Mets and Rockies before retiring.
And then went on to work for the Mariners.
Yep,
and then
he's Mariners GM right now.
The Angels and the Mariners.
Yeah. A lot of people are real, real happy with the way things are going in Seattle.
They're pumped.
They're super geek because he's not very transparent, as it turns out.
Yeah. All right, 902. I remember talking to him. He came to town.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about the humidor.
Yes. Remember that.
Yeah. All right. 903. And coming up, we'll have a 4-down territory, this day in sports history. Also, Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia later on, and in the garage of NASCAR Fred. But it's time to talk a little Colorado Mesa baseball with the skipper, Chris Hanks.
Talking CMU baseball with Mav skipper Chris Hanks on the team.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa baseball team, joins us. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys.
Do you actually have the chessboard out this morning? Because you texted me, you're be at the chessboard waiting for me.
Yeah, I already solved about 5 or 6 puzzles on chess.com, so that's how I get my mind going in the morning. I'm trying to get my rating up.
I see. Okay. So do you have like a streak? Is this like Duolingo? Do you have a streak of you do it every single day? How does that work?
Yeah, well, it tracks it for you. I miss once in a while.
You got other things going on. But I would imagine for you, being a baseball coach, you know, baseball's essentially in some ways a game of chess of making the right moves at the right time. I would think that the game of chess would probably help you in that regard.
I would think so. I can't believe it took me this long to find the game. I only found it, around Thanksgiving. And we got a group of players on the team. We play on the bus, and I guess there's a chess club that meets every Monday night out at the Safeway on Patterson Road, and we're going to crash it one of these nights.
I think it'd be great. Yeah, the Mesa baseball team goes to the chess club. I think that'd be cool.
I'd go in talking some smack.
We're coming here to take all your kings and queens. We're coming for the sweep. I love that. I think it'd be great if you go in, chess puffed out. Okay, here we are. All right, nerds, we're taking over. Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to see that. I don't know if the chess club would be that thrilled, but I'd love to see that nonetheless. For your baseball team, Chris, you were on the road at UCCS last weekend, had to battle the weather over there, and you were able to get 3 out of 4 in that series. You lose the finale 8-7, but Paul Schoenfeld, a big weekend for Paulie. He had a really good weekend at the plate, named RMAC Player of the Week. Hit .643, 6 runs. He scored a couple doubles, home run, knocked in 12. had an OPS over 1.600 in game two of the series, 4 for 4, the couple of runs scored, 4 runs driven in, double, did a little bit of everything for you to be named the RMAC Player of the Week.
Yeah, Paul, you had a great weekend, and it was a good weekend to do it. You know, we were out, Colby Felix missed the weekend with a hamstring, and hoping to get him back this weekend. But he filled in nice, you know, he picked up the slack there, and, you know, Paul himself was a kid who missed a little over a month due to hamstring issues. So it was good for him, and he helped us win some ball games.
Chris Hanks, coach of the 11th-ranked Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team, with us, and we've talked about how with pitching, that's been the one area you've tried to really, with your starting rotation, try to solidify. Now that we're into the final homestand of the season, you'll go to Adams State next week, and then the RMAC tournament, which you hope to be hosting once again after winning another RMAC title. Still, there's work to be done in that regard, but where do you feel like you are with your pitching right now, Chris, as you head into a very crucial part of the season, RMAC tournament, and of course, regional play as well?
Well, yeah, you know, we've liked our pitching all along. I think in that area we've underachieved this year. We have very good arms. We've got very good depth. I think we're finding the combinations, you know, where the starters go, how to use the relief guys. You know, we have quite a few number of new guys, so we're learning them. But I think we're narrowing in on what we're going to do to finish out here.
Chris Hanks, coach of the 11th-ranked Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team with us. And, Chris, it's New Mexico Highlands this weekend, and really for your ball club and trying to continue the domination over the Cowboys. You used to have some great, legendary, epic battles in the mid to late 2000s before, of course, you went on this long conference winning streak. But for the Cowboys, you've won 17 straight against them, all 4 games in Las Vegas, New Mexico. Last season, Harry Estep is their new head coach, and it's been a bit of an up and down season at times for the Highlands Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, I think they're better. They have the new coach, they have new energy, a lot of the same players, but they're playing better. You know, they knocked off CSU Pueblo twice. They split that series, I believe, and they've given people trouble. They're competing hard. You know, they're dangerous to us if we take our eye off the ball, so to speak. You know, anybody can beat you, obviously, in this game, but they're particularly dangerous. So, you know, as a coach, this is a series that concerns us. You know, we got to make sure the guys really stay dialed in.
Yeah, Tucker Simpson for them with a .361 batting average, 11 doubles, 8 home runs. He's got hits in his last 5 games, couple of home runs, and 10 runs driven in. So he's been really the key to their success when they won ball games this year with what he's done at the plate.
Yeah, you know, they've been a little bit hot and cold, and, you know, so a little hard to predict. But, you know, if they come in here, nothing to lose. You know, they're not going to make the tournament. And, you know, as they finish up, you know, their objective and goal is to finish the season strong, and they get to test themselves against our club on the road. So we're viewing this as a test.
And for your club, there is a lot at stake here in terms of nailing down a 12-straight RMAC championship, your 28th overall for Colorado Mesa. You know, if you win all 4 games against Highlands, it would eliminate Metro State, School of Mines, Adams State from having a chance to win the conference. You'd also clinch a share of the title. You'd host the RMAC tournament. So while Highlands is next to last right now in the conference, like you said, can't overlook them. You never overlook anybody. But this is an important weekend for the ball club because a chance to really solidify a lot of things when it comes to the RMAC tournament and another championship.
Yeah, and beyond that, the regional situation and, you know, what we talked to the guys about yesterday is, and this is about playing your best at the end. So we got to raise our level. We got to play at a higher level. We always say, you know, we're competing against ourselves. We don't spend too much time on the club we're playing. We're always trying to measure our improvement, what we're doing, what our objectives are. And you know, if those kids, we have good leadership, you know, with Rob Schrar and Jonathan Gonzalez and Declan Wiesner, you know, if we got to focus on that because we need to be playing our best down the stretch here.
Should mention Regis still has a shot, but if you they lose 1 game and you win all 4, that takes them out of consideration as well for the RMAC regular season championship. You mentioned regional rankings that the teams that are the eight teams in the region listed in alphabetical order, and you're in there along with Regis and Metro State, and there's the five other Lone Star teams that are also in there as well. Inkblot Sports, they have you as the number one team in the region right now. So, for like you said, for your ball club, there's a lot to play for, not just the RMAC championship and those things, but to continue to hopefully end up with that top spot in the South Central region rankings.
Well, yeah, you know, you want to host the regional, and then, you know, if you're the number one seed, you have the opportunity, if you win the regional, to host the super. And that's been one of our goals ever since, you know, the school and Tim Foster stepped up and built this beautiful new stadium of ours. It would allow us to host that event. And, you know, that's certainly, you know, since this was built, is something that we want to do. We want to make whoever, you know, a Texas school, you know, come to us.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team, with us. And, Chris, we should mention that Friday night's game, the opener of the series in New Mexico Islands, will not be at the Diamond of the Bergman Sports Complex. It's going to be back at your old stomping grounds over at Samsa Plesio Field for the fireworks game on Friday night. And, by the way, we'll have the game on 1100 KNZZ with our pregame at 6:50 on Friday night for that one. But over at Samsa Plesio Field, chance for fans to get out and watch the Mavericks and have some enjoy some fireworks after the game on Friday night, and hopefully some fireworks on the field as well.
Yeah, it'll be a little later start, 7 p.m. A lot going on campus this weekend, a lot of different events from track and field to softball to lacrosse. So I know our athletic department has their hands full, and you know, we've adjusted game times and whatnot to try to help out that cause. But 7 o'clock, it's Plesio Field for the fireworks game, and ought to be a lot of fun. And then we start our doubleheader Saturday beginning at 3 p.m.
All right, so make sure you get out
back
and
at the Diamond.
Get back over at Bergman Sports Complex on Saturday for that. But, yeah, very busy weekend. And I think this is a really cool number about you and the softball team, that you're fifth nationally. You have 76 home runs. Softball team, they just set a single season school record. They're also they lead the nation in home runs hit, on pace to break the RMAC and national record for home runs at 107. That you and the softball team have combined the Maverick baseball team for 183 home runs. That's tops in the nation. I think for Mercedes Bodie and yourself, I mean, it's kind of a cool thing that both your baseball team and Mercedes team have been hitting a lot of round trippers this season.
Well, that's certainly something, you know, everybody enjoys about the game of baseball or softball or the home runs. We don't put a whole lot of focus on it, and we find that when we don't, you know, the production's better. But, yeah, Mercedes and Willie, the group over there, we're proud of them. They sure had a good season, and we hope it continues.
Does Mercedes ever come by your office and say, you know, Chris, we've hit, you know, look where we're at, we're over 103 home runs. On pace to break a record, you've hit 76 home runs. What you got? What would you like some tips on how to hit some home runs? Is she giving you a little good natured grief about that?
No, we haven't had much conversation. But what is kind of funny, because of how our fields are set up, is you know, they'll occasionally hit home run softballs at practice and whatnot into the baseball field. We throw them back. Our guys hit them into the softball field. They throw them back, and. So when they go in the softball field, we don't even go after them because we know they'll throw them back. and we do the same for them.
That's great. I think that's cool. It's a fun little friendly rivalry with the softball team, the baseball team, both hitting a lot of home runs this season. Don't forget, we'll have coverage on 1100 KNZZ Friday night. Colorado Mesa baseball over at Samsa Plesio Field for the fireworks game. And Chris, of course, that'll be like right after the game, correct? Within a few minutes after the game, they'll light the fireworks.
Yeah, I believe there's like maybe a 10-minute window to get the visiting team out of the park if they want to leave and, you know, get situated and set up. But it'll be pretty quickly after.
Anything else going on that we should let people know about for Friday night?
Nah, just lots of hits and lots of good music and a really good time. And, you know, if you live in Grand Junction, I don't know what else there is to do Friday night. Get out of your house. Go see some baseball.
See some of the best baseball, best collegiate baseball in the country with Colorado Mesa as they take on Highlands Friday night once again on 1100 KNZZ. pregame at 6:50, first pitch at 7:05 from Sam Saplesio Field. Chris, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
All right. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Take care. Chris Hanks, coach of the Maverick baseball team. I know Chris has really gotten into chess.
I picked up on that.
It's kind of really, really become his jam. So it's pretty cool.
Two things that don't really go together. Chess and jam.
No.
More of a calm type of...
Like a nice Earl Grey. Like a nice tea. Mm-hmm. Maybe a biscuit.
With
perhaps.
Some jam. That's
just, a little dab.
Yeah.
Of like maybe a little bit of raspberry.
Something like that. They should put a bunch of bleacher stands between the two fields, softball and baseball, and then do like a dual home run derby off.
That would be cool. That'd be a lot of fun.
The men play from the baseball diamond. The women play from the softball diamond. So they don't have to, you know, switch sport or ball or
right. They just stay in their
dimensions.
Field.
And- you just guys round. All right, you go then. Everybody turns around and watches the softball.
Rob Shore steps up.
Yeah.
They have a few gate steps up. They go back. They go back and forth, and they do a little home run derby. That would be fun.
Jonathan Gonzalez and Maya Arrieta.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot
like
of fun.
Like a season kickoff. They do it for basketball.
Yeah.
I don't know if Mesa does, but, you know, colleges do the Midnight Madness thing. Yeah.
You could do that for baseball and softball. That'd
be really
very cool.
Midnight Madness, like January 26th in the mountains. Not real... conducive to
not great in the month of February. No, not great at all.
So, but that'd be a good time.
Maybe first home series for both.
Yeah,
do it before that.
Get out there, have like a Thursday night home run derby.
Yeah, that's a great idea. What do you know?
Because they don't have enough to do with all the championships they're playing.
That to you, yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, Dave Yonke's going. Shut up, you guys. Just
like,
stop. He's ready to rip his hair out this week, and he's got so much stuff going on. Softball in town, RMAC championships for track and field, RMAC tournament for lacrosse, for the men's lacrosse.
Baseball's in town.
Baseball.
They have fireworks.
Spring football game. Yeah, there's nothing going on this weekend with CMU.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. It's a dry weekend, slow weekend. By the way, spring football game, that's tomorrow over at Stoker Stadium. By the way, 4 o'clock for that. And I'm going to be over there doing the PA. Going to be on the sideline talking with
Look at you.
With Miles Coachhaver. We'll be breaking down this year's team.
Getting some airtime.
Yeah. So we'll have that. And then afterward, over at the barn, it's Rib City Barbecue and beverages from Central Distributing. And it's $50. Goes to the Maverick football program. So you can, it's kind of a reverse tailgate. It's after the game, after the scrimmage tomorrow. But once again, the scrimmage is free, though, but the barbecue, that's $50, by the way. So swing by tomorrow and then just stick around and watch baseball tomorrow night. Just stay over at Saplesio. Don't have to go anywhere. And by the way, really enjoyed calling the game with Dave Yonke last night. Had a lot of fun doing that. And appreciated Dave helping get us through some of the technical challenges while I'm trying to work on it. Like
IT support.
Dave's like, I'll just keep stats. I'll get you caught up. And I appreciated that. And really enjoyed that last night doing the Palisade and rifle game, which, well, let's bring a little post game from last night. Palisade, they have now won 36 straight Western Slope League games. That's just incredible. Trailed 4-0 last night, 3 errors early on, and then Garrett Draper really settled in for Palisade. Struck out 6 over 6 innings of work. Just did a really nice job of, after, you know, defense had a couple bad plays, a couple throwing errors in that first inning. They came back to win it 10-4. They won 36 straight in Western Slope League play, and now 14-4 and 1 overall. They're 9-0 in the Western Slope League. And so after the game, Dave Yonke had the chance to talk to Bulldogs coach Nate Porter about the victory over the Rifle Bears, getting the season sweeping. The last time they'll meet as Western Slope League rivals in season. So here's last night's post game, Dave Yonke with Nate Porter.
Your team falls behind 4 runs right out of the gate, and it doesn't look good. Kind of almost like the hangover from the day before. Yeah. Just talk about the resiliency of your club to come back from that 4-run deficit, all the 4 of those runs unearned.
They were all unearned, and Garrett, that means Garrett was throwing strikes. I think we had, two fielding errors, two throwing errors in the first inning. And when they came in, I just said, no more. That's it. We're done for the day. And no, we're not playing sloppy baseball anymore. Go back to Bulldog baseball. And I think we played clean ball after that the rest of the game.
Yeah, and then talk about your pitcher. You said Garrett Draper kind of did his job and really did his job in the first inning, but then comes back and really settled into the game well.
Yeah, Garrett, I think he might have had one or two walks all game, maybe one walk all game, and that's just his MO. I mean, he just he's always around the zone. If he gets down 3-0, 3-1, Will goes out and tells him a funny joke or something and clears his head, and then he just throws strikes. He pitches to contact. And so super grateful for his work ethic. Hardest working pitcher we have on the mechanics. Every single day that kid works on his mechanics, every day. And I think that's why he's so successful about being around the zone.
Yeah, and then your hitters, once they kind of settled in, also just like everybody else kind of in the game, your hitters came out, kind of were off balance with the off speed pitches that Wright was throwing to you guys, and then they really started barreling balls up.
Yeah, facing guys that throw a little off speed and don't have a lot of velo is a little bit harder than people think. I mean, it's easy in the third base box to say, oh man, I'd sit back and drive that ball to left center gap, but it's hard to stay back. I mean, that's why the Eufy's pitch is successful, because it's hard to stay back on a thrown ball that doesn't have a lot of velo. And Easton showed you in the comes against Gross, who's throwing upper 80s and, barrels one first pitch he sees. It's just sometimes velo is a little easier to hit than slow stuff.
All right, so that's Dave Yonke with Nate Porter after the Palisade Bulldogs win last night. Easton Embry, after he threw a no-hitter the night before against Durango, was the DH last night. And he drove in four runs in that game against Durango. Last night, he went 3-for-4 with an RBI, scored two runs. Hunter Howard, 2-for-3 with an RBI and a run scored as well, as Palisade gets the victory over Rifle last night, 10-4. You also had in boys lacrosse, Grand Junction, they lost to Telluride, 17-7, snaps a three-game winning streak for the Tigers, who are 6-7 overall, 6-2 right now in the Mountain League. Telluride is undefeated, by the way, in league play. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back. And on the other side, we'll get into some four down territory. Also, Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia and In the Garage of NASCAR Fred. That's straight ahead. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I want to rock!
Stay by the radio.
You're listening to the Jim Davis Show on the Team 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
Jim and the Buckeye Boy, Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Do want to mention some girls' tennis yesterday in the Class 4A duels team state tournament. Grand Junction, they lost to Cheyenne Mountain 7-0. For Fruita Monument, they were actually knocked out of the 5A tournament, according to the Daily Sentinel, without actually playing in their duel. They beat Durango for the Southwestern League title. Wildcats were 16th seeded in the tournament. They had their match against Durango scheduled, but the top seeder, Alston Valley, wanted to play and not reschedule. Clint Davis, the coach at Fruita, said that the match will likely be scored as a forfeit. So Fruita was able to beat Durango to claim the Southwestern League title. So congratulations to them. All right, coming up, chance to play Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. But time right now for...
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
All right, start things out with first down. Look, we all make mistakes. We make mistakes in this program. It happens. But Colin Cowherd tends to make, for a national show with people that are producers and a lot of people that work on that show, tends to make a lot of mistakes.
And Google at his disposal.
Yes. Because Colin Cowherd did a piece on the 15 best left tackles of all time. His opinion of the 15 best left tackles.
Okay. Kind of boring, but if you want to do that for your show, it's your show.
Because he talked about how, and it's true, how important left tackles are. Protecting your quarterback. Assuming he's a right-handed quarterback, which most are. And the problem with this whole thing was that there were a couple of guys on here that didn't play left tackle. Gene Upshaw, the Raiders, played guard, didn't play tackle.
That's how good he was. He He's so good at guard, he's one of the best tackles ever.
One time, represented the Players Union.
Mm-hmm.
And then Houston great Bruce Matthews, he did start 19 games at left tackle, but he played 293 games. The vast majority were guard and center. So, barely somebody didn't do their homework?
No, on Colin Cowherd.
I'm with you. It's like, I get the importance of left tackles, but it's kind of boring.
Yeah, it is.
And to be made worse by, you had guys on there that didn't even really play the position. One that never did, and one that only played there like 19
times. That's how good they were.
Barely so.
That's how good they were at their jobs. They were even better than other people at their own jobs.
It's the only he has the insight to
only
see that.
Only Colin Cowherd has the third eye sight. You know, the mind's eye, if you will.
All right, second down. LSU third baseman Tommy White ripped a home run to give the Tigers a 9-0 lead in their win over Nichols at Alex Box Stadium in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Baton Rouge.
And Ogeron, Coach O. No, I don't know if Coach O was there or not. But a fan who was seated in the left field bleachers tried to catch the ball with the glove. Oh, by the way, Nate Porter, nice play on a big one-hopper yesterday in the third base.
Former infielder, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he's
like former third baseman, I believe, for the Mavs. So anyway, the gentleman in the seats tried to catch the ball, and he had a glove. But he didn't make the play. Instead, it smacked him in the head. And his name's Corey, by the way. He did an interview with the SEC Network. I think we got a little of that here.
Oh, this is another one. A liner way back. Top row, left field bleachers. Tommy White. Pucker up again.
He's
and
holding
kiss
his head.
That baby goodbye.
Smacked it right in the
is
top of the head.
Is there any place on the field that he cannot hit a home run?
Still holding his head.
Inside the wall, probably.
Boy, that ball was a rocket shot. Now, we got to turn our attention to that fan out left field who
took a Tommy White one. Okay, so that's the home run. Here's the fan. Meet Corey, who got hit with the ball that hit him at about 109 miles an hour.
I mean, it was on a rope. And, you know, I've been carrying this glove with me for years. And I was like, okay, now's my time. I got one coming and hole in the glove, man. What can I say? Beamed off my dome, and here we are. I've got a nice little goose egg.
Can we see it?
Oh, well, I mean, if you want to.
So he takes his hat off. He got a big old red
mark. It don't feel good. It felt like every bit of a 109 mile an hour fastball, home run ball. Yes.
Did we get the ball afterwards? Or?
No, it skipped over the fence. But Josh Pearson, man, he's such a great guy. He came to toss me their toss ball that they do in between innings. So he tossed it to me. I guess probably Friday I'll go get Tommy White to sign it for me, and maybe kiss my Bobo.
Gonna kiss Bobo. Third and fourth down.
The LSU gymnastics team, they won their national championship for the first time. 5 years ago, they came in second place. And Darren Rell had some issue with it because LSU put up a billboard saying, hey, congratulations, second place, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, you can only put up billboards if you win, or you know, the Darren Rell type stuff. Well, they put up a billboard and tagged Darren Rovell on X for winning. And Darren, you know what? Good sport says now that's a good time to post a billboard.
Okay.
So good for everybody all around. Darren Rovell got owned, which can't happen too many times. And LSU Gymnastics won. So there you go.
Remember when he used to be a big thing?
Yeah, I remember. Paul Skeens still winning at life. Dating a national champion gymnast at LSU in Livy Dunn. And owning the minor leagues right now.
And she probably makes more money than he does.
She definitely makes more money than he does. And he does, however, have the better mustache. We'll say that right there.
That is true.
He absolutely.
That's very
leader
factual.
In the clubhouse. Now, fourth down. The Athletic recently did its third anonymous NBA player poll. Included the question, who's the greatest player of all time? Who do you believe the current crop of NBA players voted as the GOAT?
I'll say LeBron.
Mike.
Oh, you did say Mike. Yep. Okay, I thought I'd go the other
LeBron number
way.
Two.
Okay.
You know who was voted third? No longer with us.
Kobe. Yeah.
Fourth place is where it gets interesting. One vote each. There was a three-way tie. Magic.
Okay.
Steph Curry. It was probably Draymond that voted that. And Paul Pierce.
Really?
One of these guys is not like the others.
No. Steph, I can go, okay, yeah.
Steph, maybe.
But Paul Pierce, no.
He does have four rings.
Yeah.
Or does Steph have five by now? Four or five. You know, Magic, I mean, I think Magic is underrated still.
I do, too.
Paul Pierce, though? Are you really?
Magic, in some ways, and Jokic are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And their ability to impact the game. Distributing, rebounding, scoring.
Yep. Did it all.
Yeah.
Their size. Playing, they can play any position they kind of wanted to.
Pretty much. Yeah, and so, I mean, Jokic brings the ball. He's a point center, basically.
I know positionless basketball is a huge thing the last 3 years. Magic was positionless, and that was 45 years ago.
Particularly the finals where he played, in the finals, played all five positions, and Kareem was out.
And so Paul Pierce is like, what if LeBron voted for me? I did play against him. He must think something. What do you think about that? Who voted Paul Pierce?
Who did that? Who's the idiot that did that? Oh,
is it Kyrie? Is Kyrie Irving or Rajon Rondo? Is Rondo still playing?
I think he's done. I think, as far as I know, Rajon Rondo's done.
Yeah, last I heard, he was done.
All right, 9:36, and it's time for this day in sports history.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's this day in sports history.
All right, 1876, the Chicago Cubs play in their first game as a member of the National League, defeating Louisville 4-0. 1950, Chuck Cooper, selected by the Boston Celtics, becomes the first African-American player drafted into the NBA. 1964, Toronto Maple Leafs win their third straight Stanley Cup, defeating the Red Wings in seven games. 1974, the NFL moves the goalpost behind the end zone and adopts a sudden death playoff format. 1981, Seattle Mariners manager Maury Wills is suspended two games by Major League Baseball after ordering the grounds crew at the Kingdome to enlarge the batter's box by 1 foot. And 1993,
type of controversy I miss.
Yeah, something like that. 1993, the New England Patriots draft Washington State quarterback Drew Bledsoe with the first overall pick, who, of course, would eventually get sent to Buffalo because some guy named Tom Brady would take his job. And 1997, Ken Griffey Jr. hits career home run number 250. And that's this day in sports history. All right, 9:37. Coming up next, we'll have In the Garage and NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. But right now, time to play Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia, brought to you by Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar, home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam Saplesio Field. Here's the question. If you won the last 2 weeks or earlier today with Who Is It? Don't play. Now we'd mix a Colorado college trivia question along with Broncos and NFL draft day question. Who is the only CU Buff to be picked in the first round by the Broncos? One guy. Only one guy has ever been drafted out of CU in the first round by the Broncos. Tell us who it is. Who is the only CU Buff to be picked in the first round by the Broncos? First correct answer wins a gift certificate to Wrigley Field on North Avenue. Who who is the only CU Buff to be picked in the first round by the Broncos? Get your answer in right now on the team line, 970-242-1340. And I believe today is Chicken Fried Steak Day over at Wrigley Field. Coming up next in the garage, NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Stick around for that right here on the Team Sports Network.
Touchdown every morning. Woo!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody.
I want to go fast.
Like an oval, then we're going to drive straight, and then we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, get ready to go in the air. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
Let's go in the garage with NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing information at MontroseFordNissan.com. From the great state of Iowa, NASCAR Fred joins us. Hello, Fred. How are you?
Hi, I'm pretty good. Boy, I thought I had picked a winner this time. It was funny. Last week when we made our picks, I went first. I picked Keselowski, and both of you guys went, oh, man, because you wanted to pick him, too. And I think we were all onto something. Boy, if the start-finish line had been about 100 yards sooner, he would have won it. But great job by Tyler Reddick. That's quite a finish.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Ty Reddick surviving that final lap of the race at Talladega to win the Geico 500 event. Mike McDowell's double block kind of went wrong on the bumper, Brad Keselowski, and that sent him spinning into the rest of the field, and that's when Ty Reddick seized his opportunity and passed Keselowski and Noah Gregson before the caution was thrown to win the race. So for Brad Keselowski, though he gets a runner-up, but the streak continues. The winless streak, unfortunately, continues for Brad Keselowski.
But looking promising because that's 2 weeks in a row. He's finished second. So, he's coming that close. It's going to come, sometime in the next few weeks here, I'm sure. Just Tyler Reddick, I loved what Kyle Petty said about it. At Talladega, you don't lift. Even if there's a brick wall in front of you, you don't lift. And then that's what Tyler Reddick did. He just stayed on it and found that opening through there, and it was pretty exciting. Yeah, Brad Keselowski second. Noah Gregson, good finish for him. He's been kind of up and down this year, but he came in third. Ricky Stenhouse, Alex Bowman, Anthony Alfredo. Little Beard Motorsports is the name of the team, kind of a second-tier, lower-funded kind of a team. But he ended up finishing sixth. So got to tip a hat to those guys. And I don't see David. Todd Gilliland, the other front row motorsports driver besides Michael McDowell. He was in the top 10 also. He finishes eighth, and those guys they're continuing to make some noise. So might see either one of those guys win a race fairly soon.
Daniel Hemric was ninth, and you also had finishing 10th, Harrison Burton as well. So a lot of very unfamiliar names, unless you're just a really diehard NASCAR fan. Some really unfamiliar names in the top 10.
Yeah, Harrison Burton, he's Jeff Burton's son. And Jeff Burton, by the way, on the NASCAR Hall of Fame ballot this year. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, maybe. But Harrison Burton, he's driving for the Wood Brothers. I mean, been around forever, legendary, number 21. And he's kind of been struggling. He was hot in the Xfinity Series. But another one, like Ricky Stenhouse, say, or Austin Dillon, who's really doesn't have the same kind of dominance, once they get into the Cup Series. And he's getting there little by little, I think. But, good to see a top 10 for him. On the other side of things, Bubba Wallace, 36th, Denny Hamlin, 37th, Christopher Bell, 38th. That's Talladega. You get wrecked. It happens.
So points after Talladega, William Byron, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Ty Reddick, Christopher Bell, Daniel Suarez, Martin Truex Jr., Ryan Blaney, Ty Gibbs round out the top 10 with Ross Chastain, Alex Bowman, Bubba Wallace, Chase Briscoe, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, all above the playoff cut line right now.
Right. And that's the playoff standings. Now, we also got to keep an eye on just the straight points standings because the regular season points championship, there's 15 playoff points waiting for whoever wins that. And right now, Kyle Larson is leading in that tally by 15 points over Martin Truex Jr.
So you mentioned that NASCAR has announced their nominees for the Hall of Fame for 2025. And among them, the modern era ballot, Greg Biffle, Neil Bonnett, Tim Brewer, Jeff Burton, as you mentioned, Randy Dorton, Carl Edwards, who won 28 NASCAR Cup races, Harry Gant, Harry Hyde, and Ricky Rudd, and Jack Sprague. But I'm hoping of the Pioneer ballot, Banjo Matthews.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Banjo Matthews gets him just because his name is Banjo, man. That's What? He built cars that won more than 250 Cup races, three championships, but just got to love the name Banjo.
So, yeah, he was, you know, he's kind of a more of a behind-the-scenes guy. He did, you know, he did drove some races, but that really wasn't his big contribution, like you said, building cars, championship-winning cars. So I think it's entirely appropriate that Banjo Matthews should be on there. Out of those five guys that are on the Pioneer ballot, Ray Hendrick, Ralph Moody's one that definitely deserved consideration, too. Larry Phillips, Bob Wilborn, I did vote for Banjo Matthews. You know, you can go to NASCAR.com and vote on this.
I'm going to have to go there and vote for Banjo. I think he needs to be in the Hall of Fame, just on name alone. So I always think it's kind of cool, some of the color schemes that some of the cars have. And at Dover this weekend, Legacy Motor Club revealed what they're going to have for their number 43 Toyota. It's going to pay tribute to the Petty family during its 75th anniversary in NASCAR with a Richard Petty scheme on the number 43. Looks really sharp. Looks really good on that Camry.
Good old Petty Blue. that really is kind of an iconic look when you see that number 43 with those colors, and it's just, it really does something to you. And unfortunately, it's not going to be Eric Jones
right
behind the wheel of that car. Eric, of course, was involved in one of the wrecks at Talladega and hit the wall pretty hard, but released from the infield care center, but later went back to the infield care center and ended up being transported to a hospital and stayed overnight. And it turns out he has a compression fracture in one of his vertebrae. So he's going to be out. It's week by week how long he's going to be out, but he'll definitely be out this Sunday. And Corey Heim going to make his Cup debut driving that 43. So that's a tall order. Not running your first Cup race and running an iconic number like that. We'll see what he can do. Corey Heim's good. He's sitting second in the Truck Series points right now. So Cup cars are a whole different animal. So we'll see how he does on Sunday.
Yeah, no pressure on Corey Heim. No pressure at all.
No pressure at all. Nah.
Also, article that's out about could NASCAR add additional stage to Super Speedway races? Kind of take us through what you know about this.
Well, Elton Sawyer, Vice President of Competition at NASCAR, said, well, it's a personal opinion and a professional opinion. He said they feel like there needs to be a change. He said when it's just become incredibly hard to pass. And someplace like Talladega, drivers start racing for the stage when they're liable to get wrecked. And part of what it would do would be if they say they take that Talladega race and split it into four stages instead of three, you'd probably be eliminating the green flag pit stops, which would take a big variable out of that. I mean, there's a lot that can happen during those green flag pit stop sequences. I don't know. It might take some, just from that regard alone, it might take something away from it, in my opinion. The only race that they run four stages is the Coca-Cola 600, because that's such a long race. But I don't know. It would just focus more on the on-track racing and not the pit strategy, for one thing. So we'll see. And, take the fuel saving out of the equation, they also say. So, if they think it's going to be a better show for fans, then that's what they'll do.
All right, so this weekend, this Sunday, noon our time, it's the Worth 400 at Dover. That'll be on FS1, by the way. So give us a little preview of Dover coming up this weekend, Fred.
Oh, I think a lot of guys have been looking forward to Dover. You know, it's this is old school. This is a track where, it's really a driver's track where somebody, you can get aggressive, you can get out there with elbows out and say, coming through, and just muscle your way to a win. And there's a lot of guys that have been looking forward to that. It's its own kind of animal. People talk about how, it's pretty high bank, mile track, pretty high banked, and they talk about landing when you hit the corner, because when you hit that banking, it really is like you've come off a jump or something and you're smacking down onto the track. It's just kind of a really unique place. And like most any tracks, it really suits some driver's styles and others not so much. Martin Truex Jr., that's his home track, about 150 miles from his hometown. He's won there four times. Got to keep an eye on him. Of course, Kyle Busch has won three. Chase Elliott's won a couple of times. Oh, the Monster Mile. Going to be good.
And I believe Jimmy Johnson's going to be racing at Dover, correct?
And he's the, well, not the all-time king, but as far as, you know, recent drivers, he owned the record with 11 wins at Dover. So as DW would say, he knows how to get around that joint. So I don't know. Jimmy's been having a hard time just adapting to the next-gen cars and everything. He really hasn't. You know, he's been struggling in the races he's run. So we'll see. Maybe since this is such a good track, one of his all-time favorite tracks, maybe he'll rip off a good performance this weekend. I'd love to see it.
And all come together maybe this weekend for him. So let's go through what the standings are and the results from last week.
Well, I don't really know if we need to go that far with Fred. Brad Keselowski coming in second. He moves closer, but still in third with 11 points. William Byron's seventh place finish pulls Jim into a tie for first with 14 because Denny Hamlin still waiting on him to finish this race.
You suck at this.
Yes, and Fred gets
a big, hairy American winning machine.
For Brad Keselowski in first place. This week, I get to pick first, and then Jim and Fred, you go last. I'm going back to the well. Kyle Larson.
Way to go on a limb there,
I know.
Champ.
Nice, thick limb. Couple wins, couple top fives for me already this season. I'm done with you, Denny Hamlin, for a week or two. I'm going Kyle Larson. Jim?
I'm going to go William Byron.
Back to back. Look at you. Bold.
That's me. Bold. Fred.
Me, I'm going to go with a guy whose style suits what I was talking about at Dover. A guy who's been running pretty good up in the top five, top ten a lot. I think he's going to get it done this time. Ross Chastain.
All right. Once again, Sunday, FS1, noon our time, from Dover. Appreciate it. Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Have a great weekend. All right. There he goes. Smoking out of the pits. Mm-hmm. NASCAR, Fred. All right. 9:53. And let's jump over to the text line. Got a couple here. Let's see. Steven, petty colors in that Toyota is blasphemy. But it does look good, though, Steven. I know it's blasphemy. Should be on a Mopar. Shouldn't be on a Toyota. But
car's a car. I mean. But
Mopar's not in it. So it does look nice, though. It's a very clean look. Did we get a winner, by the way, for Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia?
Yes, we did.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
He's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Coach Crabb was just a little off with Byron White in 1938. Broncos weren't around back then. Rod with the correct answer, Bobby Anderson. And Rod gets the $50 gift card to Wrigley Field.
And I think it's interesting that the Rod's a huge CSU fan, where Bobby Anderson went to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But
he just happened to know things.
Yeah, it's Rod's a sharp guy. So
I know stuff about Michigan.
Grudgingly.
Ann Arbor's the Greeley of Michigan.
So for Bobby Anderson, played for the Broncos for three seasons, then played in 75, played for the Patriots in Washington, five NFL seasons, played in 53 games, 313 carries, 1,282 yards, and 9 touchdowns. He also had 84 catches for 861 yards and 2 touchdowns. Never quite lived up to what he did playing at the University of Colorado. Longtime broadcaster on the CU Football Network. He was also in the movie One-on-One with Robbie Benson. And they filmed it at CSU. He was Hitman King. This guy that puts a big nasty screen on Robbie Benson. He was also in American Flyers, filmed here in town.
Huh.
The Kevin Costner cycling film in 85, played a reporter in that. So there you go. Congratulations, Rod. All right, back with you tomorrow. Cake will be in tomorrow. And hoping to maybe have Connor McGahee on with us to preview Avalanche and Winnipeg tomorrow night on the team. Tonight, the Nuggets take on the Lakers. Pregame at 7:30. Rockies and the Padres at 12:30 today on the team.